Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. We are reading from verse 1 to verse 7, but we'll be preaching from verse 4 to 7. Jude 1 to 7. This is what it says. Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common faith and common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angel who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner, to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of everlasting fire. This is the third time we are listening, or I am preaching from the book of Jude, as a way of recap. The first sermon was an introduction. We saw who Jude was. He presented himself here as the brother of James, half-brother of Jesus, born servant of Christ Jesus Christ, a slave of Jesus Christ. We saw to whom he was writing this letter. He wrote it to the called, the beloved or sanctified, and those who are being kept or preserved. Why was he writing this? He wrote that mercy, peace, and joy be multiplied to them. And last time we spoke about striving or fighting for the faith. That was from verse 3 to 4. We saw the change. We saw that Jude wanted to write to these people about the common faith. The letter would have been totally different to the one he wrote. He wanted to write to them about something else, but he changed. Why did he change? He wrote to warn them about the ungodly people who had crept into the church unnoticed. The people who have guised themselves, who have come, given a false image, not being who they are. They had just deceived people, but they were ungodly people. He wants them to strive for the faith and the doctrine which was once and for all delivered to the saints. They were to protect the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were not to take it lightly. They were to fight for it and to protect it. We saw that it's not only the duty of the pastor, of the elders of the church, it's the duty of every believer to protect the purity of the gospel. This demand or command is still on us. We are to strive and fight for this purity of the gospel. And we saw in verse 4 a brief statement which Jude made here. He said, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Today we will try to unlock, we'll try to see what this condemnation is. So the title of the message is The Judgment of Apostasy, or This Condemnation, This Judgment of the Apostates. This condemnation was set apart long ago in the Word of God for the apostates. Condemnation which was made for those who will fall apart, who will fall away from the faith which they once confessed. It is a judgment set apart for the false teachers. When we say false teachers, it's not only preachers, but it's each and everyone. People who are standing on the pulpit, and people who are sitting on the pews, who are spraying, spreading the false news, who are there to say things which are not true. Anyone who is doing that. Before we go far, we can see first definition of apostasy. What is apostasy? We've heard that word. I think Frederick can correct me when it was. Don Karen came to Finland from USA and preached about apostasy. Which year was it? Was it 2012? Okay, 2012. Don Karen came and preached about apostasy. It was a good preaching. I don't know if those messages are still online or if we have them somewhere, but we have them. So, about apostasy. Definition of apostasy. According to Cambridge Dictionary, apostasy is the act of giving up your religious beliefs and leaving a religion. The act of giving up your religious beliefs and leaving a religion. According to Merriam-Webster, apostasy is an act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith. Abandonment of a previous loyalty or a defection. Just to defect from something you, the religions believe, which you held to, and you change. That is what is called apostasy. John MacArthur does a good job by explaining what apostasy is. I've been looking about definition and quotes. I saw some from John Owen, some from Charles Spurgeon, some from different preachers. They've preached about apostasy. But I've heard this one from John MacArthur was really good. John MacArthur says that apostasy is the abandonment of faith and of truth. It is not to be confused with mere indifference to the word, for it involves an intellectual acceptance of scriptures. Let me read it again. It is the abandonment of truth. It is not to be confused with mere indifference to the word, for it involves an intellectual acceptance of scriptures. He goes on. Neither is apostasy to be confused with error. It is not necessarily believing in false doctrine. An apostate can acknowledge that certain doctrines are true but fails to believe them in his or her heart. An apostate can acknowledge Christ without accepting him. An apostate has received light but not life. They have known and accept the written word, but they have never met Christ, the living word. Apostasy is a deliberate rejection of the truth after it is known, hence it is the most damnable sin of all. The writer of Hebrew wrote, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Somebody who knows the truth and stomps it across deserves more severe punishment than those who did not know as much. End quote. This is what John MacArthur summarizes about apostasy. What it is, he says, apostasy is to know the truth. It is perhaps to have confessed a belief in a truth, but have received light, but to have not received the life which is found in Christ. Somebody who has been part of the church, let's say, I would even go further to make this statement that majority of Finnish people are apostates. Why? Because most of the people have been in the church. They've been confirmed in the church. They've confessed some faith. They've confessed some belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know for sure that today, majority of them have nothing to do with Christ. They have nothing to do with church. So an apostate is somebody who has confessed once or twice or tried to live a life of a Christian. Try to pretend that I am a born again. I am a Christian. I'll follow Christ. Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And after time, it can be days, it can be weeks, it can be decades. And then they renounce. They defect from that. They say, I don't believe anymore. We see here Jude is writing to these people in verse 4, referring to them. The people who came in, who claim to be Christians, who claim to be all about Christ, but after a time, they had shown their true colors. And let me be clear here to tell you that apostasy is not only in doctrine. Certain kind of doctrine, people stop believing doctrines. No. There are people who can still be believing part of doctrines. We have many of them on Facebook. I think when Reformed in Scandinavia started, there was one in Denmark. One of the guys who lived close to a church, in a city where there was a church, but he didn't go to that church. Every church in Denmark in the city was bad churches. He was a master, a doctor on internet. He was writing, he was doing things, but we had the proof that he was not a believing guy, because there were churches in the city. He didn't go there. So you can be believing, you can be saying all the good things, but when it comes to the way of life, as Jude writes here, these people are not apostate when it comes to doctrine. It comes about the way of life, the way they are living. They are living in a sensual manner. They go for sexual immoralities. They do different things. So when we talk about apostasy, don't always go directly to doctrine. Think also about way of life. What the people say, is it what they do? Is the life they live and the words they talk speaking the same language or not? Because you find many people who say good things with their mouth, but their lives says totally different things. It comes to this: if we really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we follow him. If somebody does not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it is clear that that person does not follow Christ. They don't believe in him no matter what they say. Their life tells the story. Their life says the story. In case of Jude, when he wrote about these people, these ungodly people, he said ungodly. That means they had no interest with God. Maybe they were saying good things, but their lives were showing a different things. Apostates. Apostasy. He talks about this condemnation. What condemnation? The condemnation, the judgment spoken here is for those who will abandon, those who will walk away from the truth, having once confessed it. We've seen people, even in this church, coming for a while, speaking all the languages, telling us even how they've come to faith. You see them that they are progressing. Things are happening in their lives. And after time, you see that the same person stopped coming to church, stopped believing. Some of them, they've gone. And this does not happen only here. It happens in many places. An apostate is somebody who confesses belief. I follow Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I will die for him. I serve him. He's my King. I've been saved. He does all those things. And that doesn't last until the end. They renounce that faith. Let me give you an example of a former pastor of Purmu Baptist Church. Purmu Baptist Church. I am going to say even her name, everything, because they've made a documentary about her in Himla Live. If you watch Vega, Ule, Svenska Ule, Vega, Himla Live, there is a lady and there is a program called Nar Paston Ani Slutade Trupo Good. Nar Paston Ani Slutade Trupo Good. She's there, she's talking about her experience. You will see exactly a mark of an apostate. She says that she got afraid of using. She was scared of using this and an e glass. There's some mysticism or some. She was using and e glass, and then she got afraid. Then she got interested into Christianity. She said that she went to a Christian school. She was interested in music. She went to a Christian school. And then she went to another one. And there she met many Christian people. People who said that they were Christians. And she started spending time with her. And with those people. And she said herself that at that time, that was the time Livestud in Sweden was so popular. That was the time even Vineyard, Hillsong was so strong. All the churches here, they had some movements. There was meetings and there was everything, coffees, places. It was the time of success. Charismatic movement was thriving in Finland. She loved many people and she used to go to the meeting. It was many things were happening. And she started following those things. She didn't say anything that she came to faith. But at age of 23, she was elected pastor of Baptist Church in Purmo. She went there She started preaching. The more she was reading the Bible, the more she was feeling uncomfortable. The more she was feeling reading the Bible, the more she was feeling comfortable. The way she wanted to run away from it, she told God that God will even speak to her during that time. And God didn't speak. She didn't realize that God had spoken in the Bible. She wanted to see all these charismata, all these miracles happening. And she didn't see it. She was getting sad and sad and sad. She got even depressed or burnout, and she left. She stopped believing in God. You see exactly the life of an apostate. Somebody who confessed. Somebody who even served in the church. Somebody who did many things in the church and was maybe one of the popular guys, or somebody who was a Christian elite in some sense. When they come to a point that they don't believe anymore. If you think in your own life, you will find one or two persons who have done the same. Maybe people you grew with, or somebody you know, you've heard, and then suddenly they change. Ulf Ekman is one of them. Ulf Ekman, Protestant this way, now he's gone back to Roman Catholic. There are many who have done it. They've denounced the faith. Justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've gone after different things. An apostate is a person who confess the faith, and at some time, some stage in life, they abandon that faith. They go chasing something else. And the Bible is full of warnings against apostasy. The Bible is full of warnings about it. If you read Colossians 1, 21 to 23, the writer says that you are Christ's. You are a child of God if you remain, if you stay fast, if you remain stable, if you are not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Only if you stay with the gospel, only if you stay with Christ, then you are a true Christian. It's not a matter of making a statement sometime. It's not a matter of having feelings like this girl, this Annie Pananen, she's called. Everything was feelings. She was saying how she was feeling the Holy Spirit, how she could hear things, how things were happening. It was all feelings. It's all about the end. How we're finishing. If we persevere until the end. If we walk with Christ, if our yes is yes until the end, if Christ is our Lord until we die, until we meet him. But if it's the contrary, if we defect, if we say something else, we are apostates. This is to let us understand that salvation is not only a confessional thing, or a verbal thing, a verbal confession. Because that's what people are looking at today in churches. But she said she was Christian. I said I was Christian. I'll tell you that I'm Christian. No. It comes to this. If you are truly saved, if you are truly born again, changed, transformed, if you truly have been made a new creature, have a new heart, you don't fall away. You don't fall away no matter what. This is the greatest doctrine for we who are Calvinists. We know security of believer, that we are safe in his hand. God is almighty, sovereign. He has saved us. He will keep us. We know that it's not dependent on you and me. God will keep us. If we are truly saved, he will keep us until the end of the day. No one loses their salvation. If somebody said that they've lost their salvation, they just reveal that they never had one. They've never had one. They've never been saved. As this lady, an apostate, confessing that she trusts in Christ. And it's also a shame for a church. I don't know if it still exists, that problem about the Baptist Assembling. I don't know if it still exists. A 23-year-old girl who was interested in music, making it to be a pastor, and everything collapsed. Was not, as she said herself, that for more than 20 years, she has never sang any gospel song. That's how empty it was. It was just, no, since she left, no worship song, no. She went. I had a friend in England. She was from South Africa. We went to the same church. I met her in England. And we used to go to the same church. She was involved in the church. She was there and she could sing, she could do things. And I moved from England. I went back and asked, how is Tanya doing? Yeah, no one wanted to say something. Yeah, I asked again, how is Tanya doing? You know, we haven't seen her for a while. And then somebody told me that, yeah, let me tell you what happened. Tanya stopped believing. She's practicing new age thing. She hugs trees and to get energies. She does different things and she stopped believing. That is clear mark of an apostate. Clear mark of an apostate. Believing in Christ or pretending to believe in Christ or showing that you are believing in Christ and then you show your true colors. You go away. If you are not saved, you are not saved. It is better to believe in Christ than to hold to an empty tradition or religion, false hope, which will take you to hell. There are many who know that they never believed in Christ. Even in churches, you find people who know in their hearts that they are not saved. They are not children of God, but they look for excuses. They look for happenings, something which happens in their life, experience in their lives. They try to find comfort in those kind of things instead of turning to God, say that, I don't know you, God, rescue me. God, save me. God, give me gift of repentance. Let me turn to you and serve you. There's many warnings in scriptures about apostasy. One of them is John 8:31. It says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. John 8:31. If we are belonging to the Lord, we will remain forever. We will always be his. We will not cast out. There's no sin we can commit which can make us not to be his. Because we belong to him. He will protect us. He has given us the Holy Spirit to protect us. But if we are not his, and holding to false assurances, we are deceiving ourselves. It won't last. It won't last. We will move away. Hebrews 6:1-8 says this. We're going to read. Book of Hebrews 6:1-8 about apostasy. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the drain and which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is rejected and near to be cursed, whose end is to be burned. We see here the Bible gives us warning about apostasy. It says that it is impossible for somebody who has been enlightened. I know many people use this verse to know that one can lose their salvation when they say that they've experienced, they've been enlightened. People think they've been born again. No, it's not true. It talks about somebody who has been in a church, let's say a finished person. By the young age, they've been sprinkled and they've been taken to church. If it's a religious Lutheran church, if they happen to be going to church, they've taken that child to church or to Sunday school. We see kids going to Sunday school here. They learn about things of God. And when they are a little bit older, they're confirmed into the church. And they live there for a while. They serve maybe as youth leaders at the camp or something. And then that person falls away. The Bible says that somebody like that, who has tested, who has had benefits of being with God's people, somebody who has seen what only God can do, somebody who can see the miracles, who has witnessed baptism, who has seen God converting people, who has seen how God is mighty to change lives, who has seen the mighty works of God, if they refuse to believe, if they turn away from that, the Bible says it is impossible to bring that one back to repentance. I used to say it for myself that when, as I grew up in church, I went to church all my life until I was a teenager before I got saved. There was a year or 2 years where I became rebel. I didn't want to do anything to do with church. What I was doing was mocking because I grew up with it. My dad used to preach and I sang in choirs, I did everything. I knew it. There was no attraction in it anymore. And I was getting further and further away from it. I remember one day at a funeral. A pastor was preaching. I screamed, "You are lying." That's how far one can go. And I spoke to my friends who tried to call me, my cousins, people who knew me. They tried to bring me to church because I knew it. I didn't have to do anything about it. I rejected it. My heart was closed. If it was not for the mercy of God, as I told you earlier, that the prayers of my parents and God having mercy, there was no way I would have turned to God. My heart was closed. Imagine I was only about 17, 18. Imagine if I had continued in the church, serving in the church, doing things, maybe become a pastor at that time, as they were saying, that as a son of an elder, you could have become a pastor, all those things. I had all these for me. If I would have pretended and become a pastor and realized that I was not born again child of God, how possible was it that anyone would have come and preached to me and I would have repented? Hard. This is what the Bible says here, that for somebody who has been enlightened, somebody who has seen, for them to turn away is like crucifying Christ for another time, re-crucifying him. And the Bible says that it's like the earth which drinks rain and doesn't bear fruit, brings only bad fruits, is to be burned. So there is a big danger about apostasy. There's a big danger about apostasy. People, this is a big thing. As Christians, we have to think about it. We have to think about it ourselves and look around us. There are many denominations who have gone into apostasy. There are people, even pastors, even leaders, who have gone in apostasy. Not that they don't believe, they say that they are believing, but they don't do what the Bible says. If you go again and watch Himmler Live, there's another priest who said that he didn't believe in eternal life. And every time he was preaching about it, he was not feeling comfortable about it. He couldn't preach about eternal life. As a Christian, if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't believe in eternal life, how can you be a Christian? Those are a few examples to make sure that you understand what apostasy is all about. There are those who leave completely and start practicing other religions. And there are those who are still in the church, but they're struggling. They say the good things. They say all the things you want to know, but they don't believe. Their hearts have departed away. There is a sobering end for those who have heard the gospel, seen only what God can do, and refuse to believe and choose to walk away. There is a warning. There is a warning. Big warning. The Bible says it is impossible to bring them to repentance. In some senses, you can say that it is better not to have heard the gospel than to have heard it and choose not to believe in it. No one in Finland can say that they've never been to church. They've heard some kind of gospel. In some sense, I'm saying Lutherans, they've been sprinkled. Sometimes they will be confirmed sometimes. They had to say some words. They've been given Bibles. They've heard the name of Jesus. It is tough for those who have heard the word of God and choose not to believe. Today, many people don't want to recognize the problem of apostasy in the church. We see there are denominations who are thinking, instead of saying that he was apostate, he was never saved, she was never saved, they think that they've lost their salvation. There's these debates. People don't want to admit that she was a faker, he was a faker. He pretended they never had any salvation. They think one can lose salvation. They advocate that. Some months ago, I spent some time, maybe 2 hours, talking to a man, to a pastor of this area. I spent time talking to him. He was telling me about how many people have left our church. He went on, he was talking, how many people left our church. We are doing things wrong and we are not accommodating people. We are doing this. He was talking about all these things. I pondered and asked him a question. How many of those people you have named names are still walking with the Lord today? You are a pastor in the village where some of those people live. Have they come to your church? He said, no, actually, they never come to my church. Why? If they were Christians, if they were interested in things of God, why are they not coming? When they left Agape, where did they go? I told them that they went to make a club of people who hate Agape. You were part of it. And what happened to it? Which church are they going to today? Who is the pastor today? No one. Turned around and told him that we're spending time here talking about apostates. That's why we're spending time here talking about apostates. People who demonstrate that they were never saved. As 1 John says, that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. People went out to show that they were never of us. And you know that. But even though it was a point made to him, he saw that himself, he could see that people refuse to accept that one who is not a Christian will always show that they are not Christian. They will defect. He was even saying about people who are practicing homosexuality today, who went to a church where he was, and then he said that they are still Christians. And people don't take apostasy is a serious sin, is a serious thing, is a reality. That there are many people who pretend, there are many people who come, and after time, they show the true colors. Jude doesn't leave us alone. He gives us some 3 examples of people who have fallen into apostasy. He gives us 3 examples of judgment for the apostates. Why? He wants to show that to show us that all those who defect, all those who apostate, who apostatize, will be judged. No one who apostatize will be unpunished. Anyone who abandoned faith, anyone who defects from the faith they confessed, they will be punished. So that the book of Deuteronomy 13:1-3 may be accomplished. Let us read what the Bible says in verse 5 of the book of Jude again. We go back to Jude. Verse 5. He says that, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Jude makes a statement of this condemnation, and he explains it in verse 5. He explains to them that, he tells them, you should know this. You are Jews. You should know about your own history. You should know that when the Lord God took you out of the land of Egypt, after all the wonders he made, and when your forefathers came close to the land of Canaan, the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to send 12 spies into the land of Canaan, the head of each tribe, to go into the land. And people went. With them was Joshua and Caleb. They went into the land. Moses told them that when you go there, bring some fruits and some stuff to show that the land is full of honey and it's full of milk. They went into the land. That is found in the book of Numbers. When they went into the land, they saw that the land was as it was. The spies saw everything as it was. They came back. When they were asked to give the report, what happened was they spread fear in people. They said that the land is as it was, it's fine, but there are giants in the land. They will kill us. They were accusing God that God had taken them out of Egypt to take them to the land so that he could kill their children. The 10 spies, except Joshua and Caleb, were accusing God. They were telling people the false news. They spread unbelief in people, and people stopped believing God. People thought God really wanted to kill them and their children. And God said that, I will kill all of you except Joshua and Caleb and all the children who are under the age of 18 or 20. I will spare. The rest of you will die. This is the reference Jude is using to the people of Israel. He's telling them that apostasy will be punished, and he will be, all those who apostatize will be destroyed, will be punished. He tells them a second example here in verse 6 of Jude. He says, and the angels who did not keep the proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. He tells them about Israel's apostasy. Now he tells them about angelic apostasy. These angels had committed serious sin. They were being locked up. They were not free. They were under chains into darkness because they had committed sin. Some people say that it could be Genesis 6, 1 to 6. There's big debate there. It could be it, or it could be some other sin they had committed. But we know that they were disobedient, as the Bible says here. They left their domain. They went to do different things. But you see here, again, Peter in 2 Peter talks about the same things in 2 Peter 2, verse 4. It says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. He tells them that God did not spare the angels who sinned. God didn't have mercy on them. God punished them. The Bible says that they are under chains. They are being waiting for the final judgment. And Jude is telling them, the people of Israel who went into apostasy were punished. The angels were punished. And now he gives the second and the third and final example. He gives them pagan apostasy, the pagan cities who went into apostasy. That is found in verse 7. He says here, a Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. As the Israelites who went into apostasy were punished, as the angels who went into apostasy, who didn't obey, were punished, so were also the pagans, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were also punished. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah committed two grave sins. One of them was sexual immorality. As the Bible says, that they went after strange flesh. They committed the sin of homosexuality. According to God's law, we know what God demands. God will not bend his laws because we are in 2019, in the 21st century. People have evolved. People have not evolved. God will not change. Those who go after strange flesh will be punished. And the second sin, the people of Israel, of Sodom and Gomorrah committed, is found in Genesis 19, 6 to 9. I can read it for you before I explain. Or I can explain first. Lot had received the angels who were bound to go and destroy the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around it. As these people were at Lot's house, the people of the cities came wanting to commit sexual immorality with these people. And in verse 6, this is what the Bible says, 6 to 9. So Lot went out to them through the doorway. So Lot had locked these people in the room to protect them, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my beloveds, do not do so wickedly. Do not do so wickedly." He pointed to them that what they were about to do was wickedness. What they were about to do was against the nature, was against the law of God. Verse 8, it says, "See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Verse 9, "And they said, 'Stand back.' Then they said, 'This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than this man.' So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door." We see here the first saying they were not listening to what Lot was telling them. Lot was telling them that they were acting wickedly. They were being in sin. And you see the reaction of the people. Don't make yourself as a judge. Don't act yourself as a judge. Don't judge. Does that sound familiar to our generation? What are we being told when we point out any sin, any bad behavior? Don't judge. Who are you to judge? This is the same attitude these people had. They were accusing Lot of being the judge. They wanted them to just be quiet. Lot was telling them the good news, was telling them the will of God, but they were rejecting it. They were apostates. They were unbelievers who didn't want to do anything with God. That is common with anyone who hears the gospel, who hears the word of God presented to them. They reject it. They find excuse. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't lift yourself out that you are good. Who are you to tell me what to do? They reject the truth. And what happened to them? We know that their sin was not left unpunished. We know that their sin was punished. This is what Jude is bringing to these people. He's telling them about the condemnation of those who turn away from God. He tells them about the judgment of those who belong to apostate Israel, to the angels who apostatized to the pagan cities, and he tells them also about the punishment, the judgment of all those who will pretend to be Christians, who will pretend to be children of God, who will confess with their mouth or profess their faith in God for a time and then turn back to do what they love to do, as dog turned to its vomit. People of God, know that apostasy, everyone who apostatize, everyone who defect will face divine judgment. Divine judgment. You can't blame others. You can't say others. You are the one who believe. No one believes on your behalf. Are you falling away? That's the question. Have you fallen away? Are you just a scale? Your heart is away from God. Are you just a Christian on the internet? Because your commitment to Christ should be seen by a simple, a basic act. Going to church, meeting with other believers. That is the least of it. That is the least basic commitment one can see. Well, I can't say of any of you that you are apostates because you are here in church. But there is warning, even we who come to church, we know that church doesn't save us. Coming to church doesn't make us to be saved. But there are signs in our hearts. We find that we start slipping back. We're starting to isolate ourselves. We start to go away slow by slow, skipping meetings, leaving stuff we should be doing. We are not committing ourselves. We are not devoting our lives to Christ. We start taking things casually. This doesn't mean that if you feel low, sometimes you have no energy, you are tired, you are this, you are totally apostate. No, I'm not saying that. But if it becomes a habit, if it becomes a habit, there's no desire in your heart, then you have to examine yourself. Am I going into apostasy? Am I falling away? This has to make you ask this question: am I real? Am I real? Are you real? If you are not real, we call you today to turn to Christ, to ask for forgiveness, to repent of your sin, of unbelief, and to put your trust in Him. He will not let you go. He will save you. And if you are real, continue to examine yourself. Don't let yourself fall into bad habits. Don't let your life to be as of those who pretend to be Christians. Live your life as Christian live. As you see here, Annie Pananen, she pretended for a while. It was not real. She crashed. You can go for many years if you are faking, but it won't last until the end of the day. Our hope is that we will spend time in eternity with our Master, with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is not for tomorrow. It's not for 2 days, 3 days. Our hope is for eternity. And we can only reach there if we are real, if He has saved us, if He has put His Spirit in us to keep us going. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank You for Your word today. We thank You for these sobering words You have given us about apostasy and the need to be steadfast in Your word, to examine ourselves if we are real. Father, for those who are apostates without knowing it, we pray, Father, that You will open their understanding. Father, before it's too late, they may turn from their wicked ways in repentance. Father, they may trust You, the living God. For those who are Yours, who are real, we pray for strength. We pray, Lord, for You to protect us and to guide us. Father, don't let the devil to come and put doubt in our minds. Father, that we are accusing ourselves of unnecessary stuff and we are being distracted from what You have called us to do. Lord, help us as Your children. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.